Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Morning, Bruce. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Do you think we can talk Joe Creedy and Aramis Ramirez to come back and play third base for the White Sox and Cubs?
I think they can catch a ground ball.
It's a black hole right now, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's right in the middle of each third baseman's glove. And that's where the ball goes through it. They can't catch a grounder.
I mean, here's the weird thing, Bruce. I don't know how many guys have played third base this year for the Cubs. You know, Matt Shaw, Gage Workman already gone.
Birdie
has played. Brujan
Turner.
Has played. Turner. So we got five. They had seven last year all gone.
Gary Scott. Is Gary Scott in there?
Kevin Ory.
Yeah.
I just
keep going. I'm with you, Bruce.
Who's the third baseman? Who is it?
Who's on first?
Exactly.
Yeah. The reality is that the plan that we hear from the Cubs is we're waiting for Matt Shaw. I don't believe that's really the mantra going on in the hallways at Clark and Addison. I believe that they're looking for a practical solution to third base if indeed Shaw is not ready to play this year. I mean, he looks like a guy that has a lot of talent that eventually is going to hit, but because you have a need for it doesn't necessarily make him ready to help you win right now. So this is a win right now team. Development is a part of it. We saw a lot of it last year with PCA, with Amaya, with Bush. Some of the pitching as well, you know, and now we're seeing a team that is ready to try to win a division and go deep in the playoffs and to have a whole third base. You know, again, you know, ideally they get a bullpen guy at the end, they get a third baseman, they get a starting pitcher. How much, you know, is that going to cost you as far as players and money? We don't know, but you know, looking at their situation over the next 2 years, this is a time to win.
Bruce, I heard you say that on Marquee. Molly talked about it this morning. I have to say, I don't necessarily agree. And I have to say this, because two-year windows, I think that you're looking at the end of the 2026 season because of the potential work stoppage, but explain to me why you believe that when, in fact, the Cubs have rebuilt their farm system to the point where they believe it's probably open for maybe 3 to 5 years. And if you lose Kyle Tucker this year, I think next year is not a realistic window. So you want to keep it open because your talent in the minors is good enough to believe that. How did you arrive at the two-year window?
Well, okay, so beyond 2026, there's only two Cub players that are signed, okay? Imanaga, right? And Swanson. That's it, okay? Everybody else is either a free agent or not under any type of term contract. So with that in mind, you know, who is replacing your left fielder? Who is replacing your right fielder? Who is replacing your DH? Who is replacing at second base? Again, I'm a believer that they're farm system looks good, but realistically, how many of those guys are going to make it to being quality starting ball players on a contending team? You know, I don't think that there is a window, and this isn't just the Chicago Cubs. I believe a lot of teams are in the same boat because of the proposed lockout in 2026 in December and the unknown of 2027 and beyond. So I don't think a lot of teams are planning beyond 2027 as far as what they're doing as far as signing guys up. You know, is Tucker going to be getting $500 million, and is there nobody going to be around him to play to help him win? So those are things that, you know, people look at and I'm looking at right now and saying, these next 2 years are that's the time for the Cubs to win.
I like it. I saw it yesterday. I wrote down all the names that were on the screen. I like it. I think the problem I have is, and I mean it sincerely, are you saying in a way that you don't need to extend Tucker because there's going to be this work stoppage because the collective bargaining agreement is going to expire and you don't want to be paying a guy and having biblical losses? Is that kind of the other end of the deal?
No, let's make it more concise and say, are you going to extend Happ? Are you going to extend Suzuki? Are you going to extend Horner? Okay, are you going to are you going to look at some of your pitchers? You know, every single pitcher who's under a long-term contract is gone.
Yep.
You know, after this time period,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah,
they're all gone. So again, there'll be other guys out there. But again, when you talk about Tucker, when people talk about, hey, we must sign Tucker, you're missing the point of the infrastructure of the rest of the players being there. How much is it going to cost the franchise to build that along with Tucker?
But I think it's one or five. I don't think it's. I think that if you don't sign Kyle Tucker at the end of this year, your World Series window is not open next year. I think that you have to reevaluate all those questions that you just posed. They don't really. You can't answer that right now because everything is contingent upon re-signing Kyle Tucker. If you don't, then really, I'm not sure you want to re-sign Ian Happ. I don't know you want to re-sign Seiya Suzuki. I think you're ready to look around and see what else is out there, Bruce, and I just think it's a different dynamic. It's hard to look ahead beyond 2025 because
not
we just don't know.
Not if you're running the Cubs. But David, that's for you and me and Mike. Not for if you're the Cubs, you have to look beyond that, don't you? I mean, you have to have prognostication of – the third, fourth, fifth, sixth year from now.
That's why you have your farm system to the extent that it built up to
how
it is.
How many farm systems just, you know, it's like what the White Sox are doing right now. We're looking at five or six really good young farm system guys that you can project for the major leagues. That's not going to make them a champion.
No.
You know, once you get those guys there, you have to plug in.
They
and
don't.
You have to continue to plug in.
You know, the horror of the White Sox, they don't have enough. They don't have enough. I mean, they would have to hit on all those guys in order to even contend. They are, you know, they got three Rule 5 guys because they've had to shortcut it because they don't have the minor league system. There's no kind of middle class to them. So it's all going to be youth and hope.
It's an expansion franchise.
Yes.
We've been saying it for a couple years. And you know what? Product-wise, you can see some of the pitching coming, but you can't see the winning yet. You can't see that this year, probably not next year. But, you know, if they continue to hit on the pitching and they start building some offensive players to go along with it, you know, you might have something. But, you know, going back to the Cubs, to me, the reality is once they made the big trade for Tucker, they said, we are in win-now mode, okay? And that's not to save Hoyer's job or Hawkins' job. It's because you're the Chicago Cubs, and you should feel like you want to win every year. And I think Mr. Ricketts and Crane Kenny and the baseball people all feel that way right now. And I think You know, they shouldn't look at themselves any differently. Cub fans shouldn't look at their team any differently than, oh, we hope to get in. It's not, it should never be, we hope to get in.
We agree with that, Bruce. I agree with that, Bruce. But I think that when you are looking at this year and you're talking about planning for beyond this year, you don't know what you're going to want. Because you're not there yet. You don't know how this season is going to go. I don't know if I want to keep these guys that we mentioned earlier or lock them up if you're going a different direction, if you fall short the season and Kyle Tucker says goodbye.
Yeah, if you lose Kyle Tucker.
You're changing the dynamic of your entire operation.
Exactly.
You may want to invest in pitching.
Have they wrapped their minds around that idea that they're going to have to keep this guy and bite the bullet on
him? It can't be one guy. It just can't be. Well, the plan has to be much more than that.
It has to start somewhere, and it starts with this guy.
It's right now. It's now. And if you guys say, hey, you know, we have a source that they're talking to him about a $500 million extension, I wouldn't be surprised by that. I wouldn't be shocked by why wouldn't they have conversations? That doesn't mean there's no commitment if you have conversations. The guy is wide open to it. The Cubs are smart enough to know this is a franchise player, a guy that can be one of the top players in the league for the next four or five years.
He really is. He really is the guy. You know, we talk about they need like a 5-WAR, 8-WAR player.
That's it.
That's him.
That's it. Yeah.
And absolutely.
And Bruce, if they are all in on this season to the extent that we all have agreed they are, then the answer to the third base question isn't in Iowa. All right, it's got to be somewhere else. I don't know where else it is.
Colorado or in one of the cities where they're struggling, the Minnesota or one of the places that's going to trade early. Again, getting somebody to trade along with you and not getting ripped off, very difficult on May 1st, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're, from my knowledge, what's going on there, they are working extremely hard to try to find these pieces to win, not just to compete, but to win. And I'm all with them. The idea is you have to find a partner to deal with, and it's not necessarily out there on May 1st. It might be on the 15th of May or June 1st. So they will keep pushing forward and looking at this. But the answers internally are minimal right now. You know, Cade Horton might be an answer for you in the pitching staff in the next week to 2 weeks. I heard you guys talking to Tommy Hotovy. They're extremely pleased with what's going on there. He has very little innings put in. Last year, 34 innings coming back from arm problems. So they're being careful there. But eventually, why not get the bullets that he has left up here and dominating here if that's the case?
I think that's the point of asking the question. And when you look at his early start at Iowa, you're encouraged, and then you can help your pitching staff that way, but you're not going to solve your biggest problem, which might be, well, depending on the day, depending on the series, third base or the bullpen. But I think you need to address the bullpen at some point
The thing is, they're not going to score 7 runs a game. They're,
right.
they're 2-9 in games where they haven't scored 4 runs, 3 runs or less. Okay, that's going to happen to you a lot. It might happen today. You're facing Paul Skeens today, right? That might be happening today. That's the reality of a baseball season. The other reality is they're playing 600 baseball. They have a lot of ways to come at you and beat you this year. So this is a pretty good team. It can be an excellent team. It can be a team that can go deep into the playoffs. I think that's what they're all looking at, hoping for. I think the fan base certainly is as well.
And you know, I think it's interesting because we heard from Craig Counsell yesterday before the game, and he was asked about how well Moses Ballesteros is playing in AAA, and does that bat need to be up here? And the answer is there's no spot for that bat. And, you know, the answer is
no. That's
a
good thing, right?
I agree. But, I mean, he was very frank about it. If something were to happen, yeah, that's the guy you look at. But right now, there's nowhere for the guy. I think we all know that. I wonder, like, why that would be the answer on the south side. Why the Tim Elko question, who went on a power tear for a week, why isn't that guy playing? I don't get it.
That's a
team
to sit,
robbed of runs.
If you're ready to sit Vaughn, you know, and
send him to Arizona. Get him, okay. Get him taking part in the Coastal Montgomery plan.
Look, I'm hoping Chris Getz sends all of us to Arizona for, you know, 3 or 4 days. It'd be nice. And you know, that's just, you know, it's not fair. I agree with how they're handling Montgomery. I really do. The idea that if you were going to send him down to Birmingham,
right,
would have just been too traumatic for him and the organization. The smart thing was to send him with Fuller, who's their top hitting guy in the organization,
right,
spend some time there, rework some things if you have to, and get him back up there. I think it was a very smart move on their part. It's unconventional, but I think it was the wise move.
But they should do the same thing with Vaughn. I'm just telling you.
Send him to the Camelback Spa?
Yes. Yes, get the man a rub down. Because he can't play. It's just awful to watch. And you don't tell me he's unlucky. Don't come out and say he's unlucky. As Ozzie said to us, whatever his...
But the exit velocity,
Exit velocity's
high.
He's hitting it where they are. Like, isn't there an old adage, try not to hit it where they are? That sounds good to me. This guy's not able to play.
I've never accepted the hard hit idea, the hard hit angle, because you're going to have as many lucky soft hits as you do hard hits.
Exactly.
If you continually put the ball in play.
Right.
Okay, so he's not putting the ball in play enough.
That's
the bottom line. Again, it's unfair that it's all on Vaughn and Robert and Benintendi, but that's all that anyone can identify
as
a chance. Yeah, it's all you can identify as major league quality players right now. You know, the good news is Quero is coming as the catcher. You know, you have Madroth coming back. You hope there's good things happening there with the offense. But right now, you know, 3 runs or less, you're going to lose, you know, probably 80% of those games.
So did Will Venable come off the opener idea because they sent Tyler Gilbert
the opener? I thought it was because of the left-handed
down
lineups
to
changed, right? Wasn't that?
Charlotte, but yeah, the left-handed lineup, is this something he's going to go back to at some point?
I don't think it's not sustainable, right? You don't, on a team that doesn't have a setup man and a permanent closer, you can't have an opener, right? Because you don't have enough pitchers. I think it was a good idea. It kind of took some pressure off of the young starting pitchers who have pitched in a lot of situations extremely well. That's the bright side, is that they do have really good young arms that have been pitching well, but it's not sustainable to have an opener, and they know it, we know it. It's just they're trying to win some ball games, and I think Venable is holding up extremely well under the circumstances. I think he's not being looked at as stupid or ridiculous or defensive, which is hard to do when your team is 7-23.
Those are things, the good things not to be, Bruce. When
yeah,
you're
I know,
baseball
but they,
manager,
they were there in the
you're
past.
You're right.
Okay,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, honest to God, I know exactly what you're saying, because I thought Pedro was all those things.
This is a really bright baseball guy, and he doesn't lose it either by trying to defend himself, right?
Yeah.
He's just a baseball guy trying to help his team win every day. I think he's the right guy. I hope that he gets enough talent to prove it next year and the year after.
Yeah. It's a talent problem, obviously, and it kind of is upsetting that they have no talent. I mean, I don't understand why they didn't go out and buy a few players, and everyone's like, you want your young guys to take those – hits and to be up at bat. It's not like they're loaded with young guys. They got just underpaid veteran guys. They don't have good young players right now.
Yeah, Bruce.
Yesterday was a sad reminder of last year, wasn't it?
I mean,
that game with 3 errors and base running gaffes and things of that nature. It was just, there's been games, they've lost a lot of one-run games. They're in games. Okay, good. Last night's game was just horrid to watch.
Gage Workman's running out of Chicago teams to make an error for.
Yeah, there's 3 or 4 more in other sports.
Chicago Dogs?
Yeah.
Next?
Oh, no, that hurts.
Ooh. That's tough. I'm not going there with you, Dave.
Bruce, I'm not trying to take you there. I'm sorry. I hope he hits. I hope he stays. I hope he wasn't a defensive liability in spring training. Wasn't his glove the best thing about him when he was with the Cubs in Mesa?
I thought he was hitting a little.
Well, I mean, they felt, but again, it's the same thing projecting a young guy that's never played above double A, right, to play in the big leagues. And the same thing with Shaw. Very brief time at AAA last year. These are two talented guys, but they belong in the minor leagues, working toward getting back up here, getting enough at-bats at AAA. Whatever happened to the idea of dominating in the minor leagues before you're brought up to the major leagues? I think that's been by the boards now for a while.
Good stuff, Bruce.
Thanks, Bruce. You're the best,
guys,
buddy.
Have a great day.
Yep. That is Bruce Levine.